descendants were the stars of guidance and propagators of the Quran, and also upon those believers who are their followers in faith. Just as I told you concerning Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala in Mumbai, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning Sahaba, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونُ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. That we have made them a middle or moderate or mediocre nation, so that they be a witness of their testimony upon the people. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a witness over there. However, this ayat, the latter part of this ayat, should not be misconstrued and stated that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is omnipresent, because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is omnipresent. Ulama ikram have written that by the middle nation is meant Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala humajmaeen first, then the other nations, then those other nations who are on the haq or on the truth. But first and foremost, this ayat refers to Sahaba ikram. In Abu Dawud, there is a hadith which elucidates, explains this ayat, that how come and how will Sahaba be the witnesses of shuhada, and how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will become the witness and bear testimony. It's important to note this hadith, because this hadith explains clearly the meaning of the ayat. And when the ayat is explained by a hadith, then we accept that explanation as the best explanation, because it came from the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that on the day of Qiyamah, various Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam will be gathered, having their respective followers. And as is the tendency or inclination of the deniers, they will state and they will refute and object, and they will say that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam did not pass the message. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa sallam, although he preached for 950 years, his followers will say that he did not deliver or pass the message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inquire from Nuh alayhi salatu wa sallam to bring your witness, bring those who will testify that you have preached. Every Nabi will be given an opportunity to bring his witness. Finally, Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam, which is recorded in the hadith, will look towards Sahaba ikram, followers and companions, ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will then bear witness that verily Nuh alayhi salatu wa sallam delivered the message, carried the message, propagated day in a day out, in private and public. They will testify to various Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam that verily they delivered the message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inquire from Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala from Al-Bayin, that what is your witness? You are saying that Nuh alayhi salatu wa sallam delivered the message. You are saying Isa, Musa delivered the message. But what is your proof? So Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala from Al-Bayin will say, Quran Kareem is our proof. That the stories and incidents and parables concerning the various Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam have been transmitted and recorded in the Quran Kareem. That is how we know what happened during the time of Nuh, Isa, Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam. And we know this with haq, with truth, without any possibility of falsity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inquire that how do you know Quran Kareem is haq? And who brought Quran al-Kareem? صحابہ اکرام رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہم اجمعین کو ملتا ہے نن ادر من نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم will then be brought in. Because now to intercede for صحابہ اکرام رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہم اجمعین and his intercession on their behalf will be the actual intercession for انبیاء علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام. Because the evidence is greater. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then question Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the ayat wa ma yantiku anil hawa will be brought forth that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not speak of his own desires and dreams. Neither does he speak nor does he follow his own dreams and desires. Everything is inspiration. Inspiration Quran Kareem which is recorded and which we recite often. And if we do not recite often, the ahadith of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So by this, evidence of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he becomes witness over the ummah. He bears testimony for the ummah. And this is the meaning of that the Rasul, he is a shaheed over them, that he is a bearing testimony for them. And the Sahaba, you can imagine their stages that when they have to bear testimony, and Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam will be looking forward to the testimony of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala. That is why it is our maslak, and it is our belief that we must uphold status, position of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala all times. Love them, honor them, revere them, respect them, and defend their honor at every turn and corner. Because in this is our khair or in our goodness. Because salvation will lie in the fact that we protect status of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala al-Majmaeen. And I stated previously that the whole edifice and superstructure of Islam rests upon the blessed link of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala al-Majmaeen. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ahmadu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Karim. Continue Surah Fatiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. This is a very important ayat because it knocks the very bottom of shirk, kufr, bidat. It knocks the bottom of idol worship, statue worship, prostrating before idols, graves. It knocks everything down, this ayat. And this ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought it in Surah Fatiha, and we recite it in every namaz. He has made it farz for us to recite this ayat in every namaz because of its significance and importance. That thee alone do we make ibadat to. Sometimes we translate this, thee alone do we worship. The word worship cannot be equivalent to ibadat. Ibadat is an all-embracing term. Whereas the word worship, you may get some other connotations. And thee alone do we seek help. Here, all offerings, nazar, niyaz, and all fatiha, everything will have to be directed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All calling, all invocation, everything will have to be done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with this ayat, all forms of shirk, whether it be shirk fi zat, fi sifat, feel cold, fail, whether it be action, whether it be the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it be hosting, show, everything will be annihilated for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an extremely important ayat because what's happening in and around us, in our areas, locality, country, province, or internationally, if you see how many simple Muslims are involved in innovation and shirk, and there are people are calling them towards these things. Unfortunately, the Muslim does not realize the true purport or the true meaning and significance of this ayat. If you realize the true meaning and purport of this ayat, then inshallah you shun shirk, you leave shirk, and you will not go right near any action of shirk. The word na'budu meaning ibadat. Ibadat that with total submission and with total love. To humble yourself in front of someone and to realize that I am weak, I am hopeless and helpless. And to humble yourself before some supreme being. And this ibadat will be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, that we must realize first of all that we are weak, we are helpless, we are hopeless, and we cannot do anything without the will and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing can be done with us, nothing can come off us, no good can come off us besides the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this is the case, that is why we prostrate solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we prostrate only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we must realize. Sahaba ikram radiyallahu ta'ala hum ajma'een, for example, an incident comes to mind that when they went to Abyssinia, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that go to Abyssinia, there is a just a Christian king there, Najashi. So they went there. Now when they arrived in Abyssinia, then that king entertained them and he kept them. But the Quraysh leaders sent out a delegation. In that delegation came to talk to the king to release those Muslims. As the normal pattern is, those Quraysh that came from Mecca, they brought leather goods, because in Abyssinia there was a shortage of leather goods and it was regarded as a very expensive item. So they brought leather goods to bribe their way via the officers to and for a meeting to the king. However, the king entertained them. They said, see, that these Muslims that have come, they have forsaken the deed of our forefathers, the religion of our forefathers, they abuse our idols, and they now believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are runaways. We would like you to apprehend them and send them with us. So the king said, I have to listen to both sides of the story, and he called for the Muslims. So everybody was standing, waiting for the king to come into his court. And when the king appeared to his court, and when he was going towards his throne, and the people began to bow and prostrate before the king, including those Meccans that had come to take away the Muslims. And the Muslims were standing straight, because they fully understood now the meaning of this ayah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. They fully stood straight, knowing well that the king has called us and the Meccans have come to take us back. They did not contemplate that let us also bow and compromise a little bit, because the king will get happy and keep us here. They stood steadfast on the belief that إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one who we will make ibadah to, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is going to be called for help. So the king immediately was presented with the argument from the Meccans that, see how hostile or unruly are these people, they don't bow when you come in. The king immediately asked the Muslims, why don't you bow? Then they replied in no uncertain terms that before becoming Muslims we are bowing to everything, we are prostrating to everything and anything. You name it, we were prostrating for you. But now Islam has reached us, now we prostrate, and we prostrate only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba Ikram, for example, another incident is one Sahabi was presented before a king, and they knew that the Sahabi won't prostrate before the king. So what they did, they carved out an area where he has to come from. And it was such a small opening that it was inevitable that whosoever comes to meet the king from that area must bow down and come. He has to lower himself and come and face the king. They said, now the Sahabi will have to bend and you have to bow down and come and meet the king. Sahabi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with insight and foresight, wisdom, and also with this spirit to stand on truth no matter what comes. Sahabi immediately, when he saw that opening, and he saw that he has to prostrate and go there, so Sahabi, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he got near that opening and he put his legs in there first, placing his legs towards the king, and then he dragged himself past that opening and then he stood up. said, oh, now what can we do? This person, instead of prostrating before the king, he has thrown his leg towards the king. Why? Because Sahabi realized that under no circumstances he is prepared to bow his head to anybody. But that is why we as Muslims should bow only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That which you understand this principle, that which you prostrate towards, you worship. That is the law. See, the Hindu will prostrate before his idol, or the idol worship. He will prostrate before his idol. And he won't prostrate when his idol is not present. When his idol is not prostrate, you won't see him prostrate. Why? Because he loves and respects that idol, and he makes ibadat of that idol, that's why he'll prostrate. The person who is worshipping the sun, either at sunrise or sunset, he will prostrate before the sun, in that direction of the sun, when that sun is rising or setting. And when that sun is not there, he's not going to prostrate. The person who is prostrating before an animal, or before a snake, or before any of the stars, or the moon, then when the stars or the moon, the tree or the snake, when it is present, that person will prostrate. And when that thing is not present, he is not going to prostrate. So that which he makes ibadat of, he prostrates towards it or for it. Alhamdulillah, we Muslims do not prostrate before anything. That is why they are left in the masajid, the jamaat khanas. Why we face in the direction of Qibla and we prostrate. And when we prostrate before nothing, for example, a Muslim when he's making salat on the highway, or he's making salat on the field, then there is nothing there absolutely. And he is making salat, he is prostrating. And when there is absolutely nothing in front of him, that means he is prostrating before that being who is omnipresent. And that being which is omnipresent, he is prostrating before him because he is ever existing and ever living. So, if a person prostrates before a photograph, and then he cannot say, I am doing this, what he calls sijda and ta'zimi, I am prostrating because of due respect. Because he is not prostrating because of due respect, prostration is a form of ibadat, it's an act of ibadat. So a person who is prostrating before a grave, is actually indulging in an act of shirk. So remember that, he is doing an act of shirk. He does not become a mushrik, but he is doing an act of shirk. See, a person becomes a mushrik when he believes in those things. The fatwa of kufr, fatwa of shirk is given when a person's belief is corrupted and when it is wrong. But when his actions are evil, then we call him transgressor or sinner or major sinner, fasik, fajir, but we will not say he's a kafir or a mushrik. We will say definitely that he is doing an act of kufr, he is doing an act of shirk. Now, when prostration is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ruku is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ruku is such an important act that it has been only given to the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And furthermore, that standing, when we stand up, then we stand in worship or in ibadat only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not stand up in respect or in ibadat for any other being. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala hum ajma'in was seated in the masjid. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ill. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was brought into that gathering aided by two Sahaba. Two Sahaba aided Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the shoulders and they brought Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inside. When they brought Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inside, Sahaba, out of love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, began to stand. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that do not stand when I come. Do not stand when I come. This is the act of the foreigners. This is an act of the foreigners. And this will eventually, as you have seen, will lead to exaggeration. And lead to people saying that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is omnipresent. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is hazir nazir. That the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listens and hears every time just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we are pedestrian that we alone do call. Remember that in everything that we do, we should call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the madadgar, He is the aider, He is the helper. And He is the only one who removes calamities, problems, difficulties. He and he alone. Now for example, if you go to some countries like Pakistan, then you travel in their buses, and those things will now come into pamphlets, and it will come via stickers and posters in all the countries also. You will see in their buses, all fanciful decorated, you will see that Ya Ali Madad. And practically every bus will have it. Whereas the person who is sitting there, you ask him what's the meaning of that, he said, no, the painter came and painted it, it's gone. But you ask him why he has written something that he does not understand. Meaning that, oh Ali, help me. Now, this thing has slowly came from the Shia side. Because there is one sect in the Shia group, they believe that Hazrat Ali, Ma'azallah, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. And there is another group of the Shias who believe that Hazrat Ali is supposed to get the wahi, Jibreel alayhi salam made the mistake. And they say, another sect says that Hazrat Ali is one who is controlling, for example, rain, etc. And when there is lightning and thunder, they relate it to Hazrat Ali's anger or whipping, etc. Now, this has crept in, and it's crept in so much that the bus driver doesn't even know why he has put that. On the other hand, you will, in our own country, you will hear of people reading wazifas. And then they will read wazifas, and they will read, for example, Ya Mohidri Chisti, Kardo Paar Chisti. That, oh Mohidri Chisti, my ship is wrecked, and you must take it out. Now, how can this be possible, and how can this be permissible? Because, no doubt, Hazrat Mohinuddin Chisti Rabdul Allah is a great saint. But a saint cannot, for example, help you in difficulty. Remember what I'm saying, he cannot help you in difficulty. He can make dua for you, that's a different issue now. You go to him and you request from a saint, make dua for me, I've got a problem. Later on, a saint, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated in the hadith that a dua moves the ibadah. And dua is the core of ibadah. Every Muslim is a potential saint. Every Muslim is a potential wali. And every Muslim, for example, has got the ability to have his du'as accepted. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for example, how easily I said that the person who goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his du'as are accepted like the du'as of the Anbiya of Bani Israel. So much significance and importance and weight and value is the du'a of a person striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here now you have to call a person who has passed away, you have to call a saint who has passed away, and you have to call a most honored person who has passed away. He cannot help. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, has left this world. And now if a person has to call him and make frustration for him or call him in difficulty, then that is vain and is going contrary to this ayat which clearly stated, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, that we, thee alone do we make ibadah to, and thee alone will we call in difficulties. And that is why we say that what durood which the old ladies read, and which is in circulation, and our forefathers from Indo-Pak brought it along, and some people even print it, which is called Durood al-Taj. We say we should not read that. Why? Because in the opening statements of Durood al-Taj, those who understand Arabic will realize, it states there that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the remover of difficulties and pain. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who removes afflictions. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a person sick, and it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone who gives the person recovery. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he makes a person poor or rich. Richness, poorness, sickness, everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, that we should call upon Allah, Allah alone. Now people have got tendencies, for example, in difficulties, that instead of shouting the word Allah, or instead of calling upon Allah in difficulties, you will hear people say it in their houses. They will say, for example, Ya Ghosta. Something happens in their homes, then they will call Ya Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jailani, or in certain areas, Ya, in certain vernaculars, Ya Wadabir, meaning oh big saint. Instead of calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of addressing our complaints and our cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will read it. For example, Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam, when he was in the darkness, in various darkness, the darkness of the ocean, and the darkness of the veil, and the darkness of the belly, belly of the veil, the darkness of the night, in all those darknesses, when he was there, he being the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he also, when he called out to Allah and Allah alone. For example, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, when he was about to be thrown into the fire, the angels, the malaika of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he also, when he called out to Allah and Allah alone. For example, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, when he was about to be thrown into the fire, the angels, the malaika of the clouds, bearing rain, carrying rain, etc., came to him and said that, if you want, we can put this fire off. He said, no. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of his condition, knows his condition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one I will call, and I will invoke. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that fire cool. Kunu baradan wa salamu ala Ibrahim. That become cool and become a means of peace and comfort for our Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. So remember that this ayat in Surah Fatiha, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, is most important. We have got three conditions in us. We have got the present and the future and the past. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Now, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, stating to us that in all these three tenses, or in all these three times, the present, the future, the past, only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be able to help us. In the present, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us. In the past, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been helping us. And in the future, if there is anyone who is going to help us, it's going to be only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none other. See, and in the three spheres, in this world, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is going to help us. And in the grave, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is going to help us. And in the akhirah, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is going to help us. Why? For example, you get into some serious difficulty or problem in this world, then the best of people around you, they leave you. You get into some tight corner financially, or you get into some difficulty physically, or you get into some problem, then the people who say that we love you and we are your friends, they even desert you. So, if we rely on Allah and have confidence in Allah, tawakkul on Allah, call Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely help us. In the grave, when you go to the grave, everybody without fail knows this, that you go there with pieces of prophet, and the whole wealth, property, mansion, the big bungalow, the car, and the fancy vehicle, and the wife, the children, everybody leaves the grave alone with himself. So there too, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will help us. And in the akhirah, it is stated in the hadith that we'll be swimming in our own sweat, and we'll be drowning in our own sweat, and we'll be following in our own sweat. So there too, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will help us. Now, when in the present, the future, in the past, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is going to help us, then it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we should make ibadah to. Because He is the one who is aiding us, and He is the supreme being who is aiding us. So if in the past and the future and the present, if only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help us, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us by His permission, so we should make His ibadat only in the past, in the present and the future. In the present, everything should be done wholly, solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none besides Him. So every form of ibadat, I list the forms of ibadat. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi stated that there are 10 forms of ibadat, and there are 10 divisions of ibadat. I'll list them inshallah next week, and I'll show you that in every form of ibadat, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be prostrated to us, and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be attained. That is why we say the correction of intention is the most important thing in part of tabligh and da'wah. That if we correct our intention, we tasir the intention, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove boastfulness, will remove that we want superiority, fame, glory, power, all these things inshallah will be removed when we have all our actions for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability, inshallah we complete this ayat next week. Ya Rahman Ar-Rahim, Ya Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah, Rasulullah, Shaykh Allah.